Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
From 52, the kid wobbles, but makes it through. And the Seahawks win it at the gun.
Al Michaels on the call for Amazon Prime as the Seattle Seahawks last night eke out a win in the desert, 23-20 over their division rival Arizona Cardinals. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is the Morning Roast, Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. And that was a massive game in a variety of ways. And I look at that game now, Joe, as I say good morning to you, Carter, Sam, and all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for the weekend. It is a payday Friday here. You know,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Both these teams the Niners have beaten. In both of those games, they had no business at one point winning them. It felt like. But this is the NFL. The Seahawks, if Jackson Smith and Jigba doesn't have a hold in that game yesterday, they easily go up two scores. The game's over. Night-night. See you later. If Jason Myers makes a field goal with 3 minutes to go, they go up two scores, and the game's probably over then. But they didn't. The Cardinals, who couldn't do anything offensively for most of the night, have an opportunity to tie the game. A guy that couldn't catch a cold for the first half, and we were all questioning whether or not he was a bust in that moment, Marvin Harrison Jr., you could see the confidence waning with every drop. A drop that turned into an interception. I mean, this game had it all. And it was a snooze fest for about 3.5 quarters. But Marvin Harrison comes through. Kyler Murray comes through. And then it comes down to the kickers. The one that made the boneheaded play for the Cardinals. What's my guy's name? Chad Ryland, who couldn't get it past the 20 in the landing zone. It's a penalty. Puts it on the 40-yard line. Night-night. See you later. The Darnold to JSN connection was lethal. Put Jason Myers in a position to win, and they win the game. And the Seahawks are now 3-1. Wow, what a game. It was a great game.
Similar to how I view Major League Baseball right now, with the wild card being what it is and diluting kind of just how I view how difficult it is getting into the playoffs now, just to get into the wild card scenario. It sure feels like both those teams I was watching last night has strengths and clear weaknesses. Mm. They're not juggernaut teams. I don't view them the way that I might view, personnel-wise, the Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles. I would even throw the Green Bay Packers in there, just personnel-wise. Although, I was doing a deep dive on Tampa Bay's roster. They're good, too. Mm-hmm. I think they got a lot of high-level players, a lot of talent. Seattle is still like a year away, personnel-wise, but they're a good team. They have nice pieces. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a stud. I still don't know what to make of Darnold, though he made some great throws in that game.
He did.
And look, I'm gonna always lean like in the area of Kyler has as much talent as anyone. I actually think they should run no huddle all game. He is much better at the line of scrimmage, knowing the playbook and knowing what to do clockwise and things like that than people give him credit for. I think you could see he's in year 7, year 8 of his maturation process. I thought he was excellent late in that game. To me, one of the nice plays of that game, seeing Marvin Harrison, who is struggling, a young player with a lot of promise, struggling in real time. And I just feel like society now talks a big gang about young players, give them a shot. And then we're so quick to write off every young player if they don't hit the ground running. Whether we're talking about Bryce Eldridge starting his career 1-for-20, or whether we're talking about Roman Anthony, who started 2-for-27 in his career, or Marvin Harrison Jr., who's in his second year, dropping a bunch of balls. Yeah, it's ugly. There's no denying that. It's looking ugly. For him to make those plays down the stretch and then catch that ball over Witherspoon,
yeah,
one of the best players on Seattle.
And one of the best corners in the league.
Weapons yeah. in the secondary. Yeah, no doubt. And then he like falls to a knee. You could feel the weight of the world on this young man's shoulders. And it's like I wanted to give him a hug. It felt so relatable. And then he made a great catch to the sideline falling down later on in the game on the final drive for Arizona. So I just think that in sports now, people talk a big gang about how they want to see young players develop. But then when they see them struggle, because development is not linear, we're just so quick to crush them. Look, Arch Manning, I told you guys before the season started, there's just no way Arch Manning is going to live up to the hype. Now I feel like we're piling on. And I'm not saying he's good. No one's saying he's good just yet. But like, can we let the season play out a little? Does every individual pass from every quarterback have to be a sweeping indicator of if they're good or great or bad or awful? Why can't we just let like the body of work play out a little?
Because it's so much oversaturation with everything now, and we are constantly, I mean, we have the Pro Football Focus, we have every podcaster, we have these shows, we have the national shows, every single person is watching everything. Was that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once? It's kind of how we view sports right now. It's an oversaturation, and Monday morning quarterback is worse than it's ever been, Joe. It really has.
I think it's crazy, and I look, Jaden Daniels is not the greatest football player of all time, right? Had a hell of a season last year. A hell of a
Rookie
season.
Of the year.
It was incredible. You know, I stand up and applaud him. But I think being reasonable, you're like, hey, you know, do it again. Do it for a couple of years and we'll see where you're at. Look at CJ Stroud. We put the crown on the kid's head and then he's had a couple of down years. Now everybody's piling on to crush him. He's probably somewhere in the middle, right? That's the reality.
Kyler Murray was a Rookie of the Year. Like, it took him a while to get to the playoffs with Cliff Kingsbury, and now people are still questioning him after the Cardinals have, by the way, you cannot lose two games in more horrible fashion if you're a fan of a team. Back-to-back division losses on a last-second field goal. Oof, that's brutal.
You know, Kyler's an interesting case study. I think he leaves a lot to be desired, I think, for a lot of people nationally. But when I watch him, he makes a lot of winning plays. And I don't know how much his staff is helping him or the personnel is helping him. I know that organization sucks. I think when it's all said and done, he's played 6-7 years there. I think I said 7.
Yeah.
Look where he ranks all time in Arizona. They've been a franchise going back 85 years. He's one of the best quarterbacks in Arizona Cardinal history.
He is.
Going back to the St. Louis years. That's an insane sentence. And yet people talk about him like he's a bust.
It's more of an indictment on the quarterbacks that have played Arizona, but I get what you're saying. Like they've been all.
Joe, he's been a 7-year starter for a franchise. Like that is a pretty remarkable thing.
It's Carson. It's like 35-year-old Carson Palmer, 40-year-old Kurt Warner, and then Kyler Murray that have been the best Cardinals quarterbacks of my life now. Yeah. It's not really that. It's like saying too much, but one of those guys is a Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. That was an amazing run. By the way, I think it was Kyle Madsen, who's a host over at ESPN 1320, used to be a host here at 95.7 The Game, producer, I should say. He tweeted out, Calais Campbell played. He played in that Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl? Oh, my God.
We talked to Campbell. He said the same thing last week.
Did he say that he played in that Super Bowl? Is that what he said? I was checked out. I was just I was in awe of the background of what he was broadcasting. Oh, that's right.
Making plays last night. But I guess where I'm going is, like, if you talk about Kyler, it's like, he's amazing. He's a bust.
I know.
It's like, nah, like, a 7-year starter for the Cardinals in the NFL is pretty good. He's a pretty good player. I really like him.
I told you, if he was given the situation, the proper situation, like, and I know maybe I was being hyperbolic. Maybe people think I'm insane when I said, well, because if the 49ers had the opportunity to draft him, like, because he was going number one overall before Nick Bosa, and we had the conversation, right? I said, well, maybe if Kyler was drafted to the Niners instead of Nick Bosa, maybe the Niners would have had a Super Bowl by now. I think there could have been a strong possibility. Maybe. Kyler Murray with Kyle Shanahan, what he could do with his feet, I think he could do what Brock Purdy does. Now, the difference is coaching, organizations. That matters.
And I think he matured.
Yes.
See, that's the other part. Like, you know, who you are at 21 isn't who you are at 28, 29, and 30.
He's still doing some knucklehead type of stuff, a la the Michael Vick picture last week.
Yeah, that wasn't
wasn't a great look, right,
that wasn't
Sammy?
The smartest.
No. Did you guys know that Kyler is third on the list of most starts for a Cardinals quarterback?
Wow.
I don't know if you want to guess the other two are above him. It's two very obscure names. But...
I couldn't.
Oh, hold on. One's from like the 70s, right?
60s into the 70s
Hart?
And 80s.
Is one of them named Hart?
Jim Hart,
Jim
yes.
Hart,
he's
there
the
you
most
go.
Starts at 180. Kyler's third at 85. So Neil Lomax.
Neil Lomax, that makes sense.
It's a pretty cool name for a quarterback. Yeah, he's second at 101. But yeah, Kyler Murray, third overall in career starts for the Arizona Cardinals.
I think this is last year being a Cardinals quarterback.
Why do you say that?
Because I think they're blowing it up after this.
That would be foolish.
Well, John Gannon's in his third year, and they've gone nowhere. Like, I think they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think, like, I'm just telling you. I think they're going to do an organizational reset.
What are they, 2-2 currently?
Kyler's got two more years left on his deal.
Yeah, I'm not very high on this Cardinals team. I'm not. Not to say I'm not higher on Kyler Murray. I just think he needs to go somewhere else.
$57 million dead cap hit next year.
Yeah, they're going to eat it. I think they're going to do a reset after this year. I don't think John Gannon's the guy. I don't personally. By the way, that Seahawks win that 49ers win over the Seahawks week one is looking better and better. Seahawks look good.
I still don't think they're great. Like, I'm not thoroughly impressed with them. Again, I think that there's a high class, the suite of the NFC, and then I think there's the next tier of teams are all very flawed. And not that they're not good, not that they don't have certain personnel, but like, I think there's a clear distinction between Eagles, Lions, then there's the next group of teams where I would go Packers, Bucks, maybe I'll put the Niners in there, and like, who else?
It's a good question.
Like, I don't think the Seahawks are on those other teams.
Yeah, but offensively, since facing the Niners in week one, they've been pretty freaking good. Now, I know they only scored 23 yesterday. Could have been more if not for a boneheaded hold from Jackson Smith and Jigba. They could have gotten close to 30. But right after that Niners loss, 31 in Pittsburgh, back at home against the Saints, 44. Could have been close to 30 yesterday. The 49ers held them to 13 points. So I do think the offense is a little bit better than you might be giving it credit for. Maybe. That Darnold,
they seem
Jason
like a very
connection.
One player pass happy offense. Now, granted, the Niners kind of are currently too, but they've got two in McCaffrey and Pearsall. It's just Jackson Smith and Jigba is all their offense right now. I know Kenneth Walker ran really hard yesterday. It's just I'm skeptical on Seattle overall.
And you know what? You can feel that way, absolutely. Like, Sam Darnold, I'm still skeptical on. Like, even though he showed me what he did last year, I think he's a very solid. He's a slightly above average quarterback right now that can tantalize you. Like, yesterday, he made some dimes. Yeah. He didn't make the boneheaded mistake that we've seen from Sam Darnold. Now, the question with Sam is, when push comes to shove in those big, big games towards the end of the season, whether it's to win the division or get a playoff spot, we'll find out more about him.
The other team that I've omitted when we're talking about the NFC, as I'm just thinking about it, is like the Rams, right? Like, obviously, I don't really know where the Rams are. I would probably put them, like, if Detroit and the Eagles, personnel-wise, coaching-wise, I've got them up in the upper echelon. I think that next tier would include Green Bay, Tampa, LA, and then maybe Niners, Seahawks.
Well,
maybe.
Like, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think it's wide open in the NFC. I really do. I'm not saying that Philadelphia Eagles team is some juggernaut. No one has a chance. You know, the Packers, Lions, Niners.
Look at Detroit's roster.
I know.
They're
I know, but then week one, they looked atrocious.
I know, but they've got arguably one of the best offensive lines in the game. They've got three weapons in the pass game in the tight end and the two receivers. They've got two elite running backs. They've got a quarterback who statistically, people don't want to hear this, his stats mirror Drew Brees just in his career.
Jared Goff?
Yes.
No, I like Jared Goff.
And now it's easier to pass now than it was for him. But I'm just saying, like, and they've got a defense that's coming along.
You move him off his spots, though, he'll throw it up. Like, that's what I'm saying with Jared Goff. We've seen it many a time. Obviously, the Lions had a double-digit lead on the Niners once upon a time in Levi's at NFC Championship.
Just, I want to make this clear. Yeah. Because of Goff, you're always going to kind of side-eye the Detroit Lions.
I'm not going to side-eye them, but I know that you could fluster him when push comes to shove. I know that Robert Saleh knows that he could do that. I saw the Packers do it.
From a Niner perspective?
From a Niner perspective, okay. Yes. I'm viewing all of this from a Niner perspective as they're taking on the Jaguars this Sunday, and I want to hear from the people how they're feeling about this game. 888-957-9570 is the number. Brock Purdy practice again. He spoke to the media. He is progressing. If he's feeling better each and every day leading up to this game, sounds like he's going to play. But is that the right move, Niner fans?
See, I'm viewing this game. This game for me is a critical game because of what it represents for Thursday and then the 10-day layoff and then Tampa. I view this as kind of a three-game stretch. And if you can win the Jacksonville game, it's not the end of the world if you lose, and I hate talking like this, but if you lose both the Tampa and Rams game, think about it, Niner fans, just take a deep breath. You beat Jacksonville, you're 4-0. You got a little wiggle room, all right? You got a little wiggle room.
Be huge.
Right? The difference between 4-2 or 5-1 and what could possibly be 3-3 feels Grand Canyon-esque. As you get George Kittle back, as you get some of your reinforcements back, this game this weekend feels way bigger than I initially felt as the week kind of went on. And I think you have to win this game against the Jags. I think this is a huge game, and I think it sets the tone for the middle of the season.
I think this whole next month leading through October is the toughest stretch. I think we could all agree on that, at least on paper. When you're talking about the Jaguars, the Rams, the Buccaneers, Falcons, and Texans, all teams that we think are fringe or at least playoff contenders. Do we not? I know Falcons maybe is a stretch there, considering how they looked last week.
I don't know what to make of the Falcons.
Yeah. We don't, but they have the talent. I mean, Bijan Robinson's a hell of a player. Penix, I think, could be good. I don't know. They got humbled. He got benched last week for Kirk Cousins. Do we trust Raheem Morris as a coach? There's a lot of question marks there. But the Buccaneers, they were a playoff team last year, and they are undefeated. And Baker has some swagger right now. And Todd Bowles, whatever you say about him as a head coach, he gets that defense flying all the time. He's a hell of a defensive coach. The Texans. Are we tossing water on them? Are they done? Are we burying that team? They were a playoff team the last 2 years. We'll see. DeMeco Ryans knows Kyle Shanahan's offense very well. Again, we're looking ahead here. They have to win this week to feel a lot better about, you know, the next couple
of
weeks.
So knowing
all
the magnitude of this, I'm asking you, you playing Purdy, you playing Mac?
I'm playing Mac Jones. I'm starting Mac Jones this week. Why? Because I want as much rest as possible for Brock Purdy. Because I don't think he's 100% yet.
I know
Mac Jones isn't 100% either, Joe. But you know what? I'd rather go in with a lesser backup when it comes to health than my starter. That has hundreds of million dollars attached to
it. I'm looking at it like the big picture of the marathon. I kind of agree with you. Because if this thing lingers for Purdy, you're putting a ceiling on your season.
Correct.
You know, I just don't want to see him go out prematurely.
Well, because, Joe, once you go back to Purdy, You're sticking with the guy. You're not pulling him back.
The other element no one's brought up.
What?
What about Purdy being just slightly rusty? Like, that's the other thing. Like, you
possible.
Know,
yeah.
You know, like at least in these Thursday games, they come so quick.
Yeah.
It feels like both teams are kind of playing with a different deck of cards. I worry about just a little bit of rust. I'm not saying that he's not, you know, gonna, you know, figure it out or whatever. I just worry about being a tick off in a game like this. Holding the ball a little too long. Just, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think we're both in lockstep here.
I'd probably start Mac too.
And I wonder where Niner fans are at. If Brock Purdy is practicing this week and said he's feeling better every day, are you throwing him out there this Sunday against the Jaguars? Or are you sticking with Mac Jones for one more week ahead of Thursday Night Football? That's the big key here. Because you don't want to look ahead, but you kind of have to.
No, you have to.
When it comes to this injury, you are thinking a step ahead, Joe, here because it's your franchise quarterback.
And if you play Purdy Thursday with no game Sunday, you go Thursday 10 days to the next game.
Yep.
To me, that feels like a better launching off point for him for the rest of the year. Does it not?
I agree. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing on the dealer. What?
We've actually got an injury report that I want to break down.
Another one?
Yeah, we got an injury report on the other side, but we're gonna do something.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.